Live from the NASDAQ market site, overlooking right there, New York City's Times Square. This is Fast Money. I'm not Melissa. I'm Brian. Welcome, everybody. Tonight's trader lineup, Tim Seymour, Steve Grasso, Nadine Turman, and Pete Najarian, co-founder of MarketRebellion.com. I'm getting myself a double dose of Pete today. Good to see you, Pete. All right. Tonight on Fast, call it inflation-proofing your portfolio. The Chartmaster has three ways to play these insane rising prices. We'll tell you what they are and how to trade them. Plus, revving up, the old school auto company surging today. Look at that. Ford at a 20-year high. What is driving the moves? What is driving the companies? And more importantly, where they are going from here. And later, meh, is from Meta. Why our options traders think the company formerly known as Facebook needs a little bit of a reality check, or maybe a big one. Happy Friday, everybody. We have got a big show for you tonight, and we start with the inflation print heard around the world. Consumer prices rising at their highest level in nearly 40 years, with things like gasoline, rents, used car prices all seeing big gains. But here, I guess, is the good news, if you want to call it that. A surge in consumer prices did not seem to spook the markets. The major indexes, they all rose, posting their best weeks since February. The S&P setting its first record close since November 18th, by the way. Its 67th high close of the year. And here's maybe an RBI, I guess. According to Charlie Bilello of Compound Capital, that is the most record closes in a year for the S&P 500, except for in a year other than 1995. Second all time. And by the way, still got a couple weeks left in the year, I'm told. So with prices surging, President Biden saying he wants to bring them down, will that force the Fed's hand to raise rates at a faster pace than many investors are assuming? Tim, as Sarah just said in closing bell, it is a Fed meeting next week. Does the picture change for Jay Powell and company?
Well, I think, you know, we'll get the real outcome of that Fed minutes. And so we won't necessarily even totally know where we stand. But I do think you have a case here where, again, you talked about where the market is record number of closing highs. Some of that's a function of less Fed. There's no way we're going to duplicate that next year. And I realize it was a record, so no expectation we might. But there's no question that the Fed is in the mode where they've changed the rhetoric. They've changed dramatically. Look at the 2-year note today. Got up over 70, so set at least a high for this cycle where the market is moving ahead and moving ahead to price at least 2 times, probably 3 times of a hike into 2023, but in 2022. So the bottom line here is this is a week where equities went higher despite the fact that we printed a CPI print that was actually a relief with this record high. The key here, though, is the services inflation, which if you look at wage gains, I think they will be higher in 2022. And while headline, you know, wholesale and retail gas and food prices and some of the even owners equivalent rent statistics are scary, they are coming down. Those comps are coming down aggressively, probably by February or March. But the core CPI is something that I think at some point needs to be priced into companies' earnings reports and their valuations. And I don't think it's going to happen in the next 2 to 3 months.
Steve Grasso, are we at peak inflation now? People in the government saying maybe in early January, February, maybe March of next year, that will be the peak. What do you think? And then how would you adjust your portfolio based on your answer to your own question?
You got to love those. So, yes, I'm going to say that we are at peak inflation. So as much as many comments that we heard today, Brian, about inflation, we heard equally as many about peak inflation. And I think the key is, where do you go out? You know, when Tim talks about the Fed raising rates, I think they have to curtail asset purchases first, not the same as raising rates. We all get that. But what does the market think? The market has flattened the curve, the 210 spread, because they think the Fed is way behind the curve. If the Fed's way behind the curve, they've been selling the 2-year, buying the 10-year, thinking that the Fed is going to crimp growth going forward. I don't think the Fed is going to have to race and chase and be that far behind, quite frankly. So what does that mean? That means that you're going to wind up seeing buying of the 2-year, selling of the 10-year, steepening of the curve. I think going into year end, everyone wants to hold on to those large cap growth technology names. come January, I think you're going to see that really massive rotation into value, into chemical names, industrials, materials.
Yeah, maybe a lot of tax implications, too. Don't want to sell those winners, suddenly wake up and find yourself having a giant tax bill, calling your accountant saying, what the heck happened here? Nadine, are you a believer in that, that we're going to have this rotation next year because of either the curve steepening or rates, the Fed or whatever it may be, into those more, quote, value type stocks or maybe even banks and financials?
You know, we see it as a transition, but not the same transition. So I'm actually hoping for a hawkish Fed meeting next week so I actually can buy some bonds and treasuries. I think we are at peak inflation. I think there's going to be a decelerating growth of inflation. And when that happens, you want bond-like securities so you can have your treasuries at that point. So I'm hoping for it. I don't know if I'm going to get 1.6 on the 10-year or if it'll be in the 150s, but that's the point. I think you can buy some security and you can buy other bond-like securities, real estate, utilities, staples, telecom. You know, and we look 1 week ago, we were with the VIX over 30, and here we're with the VIX under 20. So risk has been taken off the table. So it's another reason why you can think about adding some defensives to the portfolio.
Yeah, amazing, Pete. Some of the narrative around Omicron has changed. I mean, given, thank goodness, some of the data that we have seen that comes out, it looks fairly mild as well. Talk about a bond proxy. I think it was Bespoke, if it wasn't, forgive me, it's been a long day, that talked about the outperformance of Apple versus the rest of the market, kind of at a record high. People are sort of buying Apple almost as a bond proxy, right? They just think it will never go down and the company will hold up. What's your take on sort of big tech, Apple, whatever, generally right now, Pete?
Yeah, and that's where the rotation, again, everybody's talking about rotation into next year. I'm looking at rotation that's going on right now in front of us, and that's exactly what we're seeing, Brian. As a matter of fact, you look at what was really pumping things today, it wasn't just Apple, it was also Oracle, it was Cisco, it was Microsoft. You get a little bit of a trend going on there, right? I mean, it's big cap tech that does not have those high multiple kind of numbers behind them. So I think that's been really the storyline that fits best, I think, with what we're seeing in the markets itself and where money is going, because those are the flows. You're not seeing it in Peloton. That continues to go lower and lower and lower. It was at 38 today.
Yeah.
It's just been getting bashed, along with DocuSign and many others. So I think we are seeing a very healthy rotation once again. We've talked about that, and that's why the markets, and I've said this all year, this healthy rotation has been something that has really been feeding the markets and actually sort of stoking it a little bit and giving us the moves, and that's why we've had all those records. I don't know what 2022 looks like necessarily, but I can tell you this, with the VIX down there, as it was mentioned, down underneath 19. It's not only under 20, it's under 19 after being up at 35. That says a lot about how quick we were able to assess what's going on, the latest variant, and how that actually does move things around and how people are feeling a heck of a lot more comfortable than they were just a week or so ago.
We're getting to Carter in a second, but Tim, I do want to go back to you because Pete started it. He mentioned Peloton. I mean, you ever see those ugly dog contests? Everybody submits their ugliest dog and one of them wins, and they're all loved, by the way. Look at Robinhood. Okay, Robinhood down 75% from its high. Peloton, 77%. DocuSign, I mean, these were best in show a year ago. Now you can't give them away. Are
they
there
were.
Any of these names that you think have just maybe just got caught up a little too much in this? Because Robinhood, I mean, at some point it has to stop going down, or does it?
Well, I've been making some noise about Robinhood over the last, call it 3 weeks, where I just believe that this is too sticky of a platform. The demographic is too much in the target profile of where a lot of other people want to be. And yes, we've priced in a lot of bad news around payment for order flow. We've certainly looked at their crypto volumes in the last quarter, and that was part of what destroyed the stock in some sense that they should have done much better. I look at a Peloton, you're back at, you can take that chart back, you're back at April 15 levels, March 2020. So you know, to the extent that, yes, you still are probably up 40% over pre-COVID levels, but really, look, we're assessing this as if this is GoPro. This is a hardware company. This is not subscription services. This is not a company that I think is going to get the kind of multiple. That's what the market's doing to it. So I think you have very different stories here. I think there's been a lot of treatment of one brush here. And again, I understand why Robinhood has been such a disappointment, but I think you have to be careful to paint all of these stocks with the same brush.
Well, they have been paying, and at some point, somebody might step in and buy them because they're either going to zero or they're going to stop going down. All right. We'll talk more about that maybe a little bit later on in the show, but let's move on because with so much sort of moving under the hood of the market, see what I did there? The big CPI report got us wondering what you can do, all of you out there, to inflation-proof your portfolio. So let's get to our chart master, Carter Wirth, who is charting what we might be able to do in this uber-inflationary world. Carter.
Well, it does get down to your conversation, whether it is peak or not, or whether it's transitory or not. And the words are all very clever, but I guess no one really knows. But there are some traditional places that do well in moments of inflation or enduring inflation. Obviously, hard assets, commodities, or real estate. Or companies that can pass on increased prices to the end user. In any event, let's look at three ETFs, and I think this is as good a place to start as any. So the first is the staples. If you look at this, all the sectors this week, there's only one or two that are making new 52-week highs, and consumer staples was one of them. So this is the Spider Select XLP, and it's the definition of a breakout. Just cleared highs today. Now, the next one is the IYR. So this is the iShares U.S. Real Estate ETF that tracks closely the RMZ or other aggregates that measure REITs. And here, too, it made a new 52-week high this week. That's not the case for financials or industrials. That's not the case for many other areas of the market. And finally, commodities. And, you know, there's many ways to tackle this, but it's a decent ETF. It's the iShares S&P All Commodities GSCI Index, and so ticker GSG. And you can see there that this one was able to get above its pre-COVID level, and then it cracked hard with the recent sell-off and worries of perhaps new COVID strains. But it found that trend line pretty well, and I think this is going to go on and make a new high. One final chart, and this is a bit esoteric, but I think it's worth considering. What I've done here is I've taken the XLP, Consumer Staples ETF, and the IYR, and the GSG, so real estate, staples, and commodities, three ETFs, and I've plotted them equal weight as a single security, and then you're looking at the relative performance line to the equal weight S&P. And if that's not a bottoming out formation, a bearish to bullish reversal, I don't know what one is. It's an interesting development in markets.
Yeah, and some interesting names, GSGIYR. Carter, thank you. We'll see you in a minute. Let's trade this around the horn, Grasso. The IYR, when's the last time you guys talked about REITs on this and rates on this fine show? It's got a 1.7 dividend yield. Not great, but not terrible. Chart looks pretty good. Are you a believer? Are you a buyer of the REITs?
I wouldn't necessarily be a buyer of the REITs. There's a lot of noise involving rates. Your Freudian slip there was noted. So I think the cleaner look is to look at the staples or the XLP, which is only up roughly 10% year to date. The IYR is up 30% year to date. I would bet on a real smooth chart on the XLP. If you go back to infinity and beyond, this ratchet up in the XLP is very smooth, staircase up, slow and steady. So I made this a would you rather, Brian. You're not on the show all the time, but I did make it a would you rather, and I would pick XLP.
There you go. So Pete, we talked about it a little bit on the halftime report today. Staples, yep. Right? These boring companies, a lot of which are based in your very exciting state of Minnesota, the Hormels, the Spams of the world, right? Some of these consumer names, they've been some of the best performers. It's bizarre. Kroger, things like that. Are you a longer-term buyer or even trader of some of these staple-type names or the REITs, if you want to dive in there?
I absolutely am on the staples, not so much on the REITs. As a matter of fact, that one doesn't excite me at all. But on the staples, there are some names out there that I think have proven themselves, and I think that there's still room to the upside for some of these names. And I think you brought up an interesting one with Kroger, also Hormel. I mean, when's the last time anybody really talked about that on CNBC? It's pretty rare. But I do think that there are some upside to that particular segment of the markets, and I think there's a lot of different names within that, and I've owned some of them. But You know, that is not the biggest focus that I have, though, Brian. I'm still looking, and I'm a little bit more of an aggressive trader looking for other types of areas. But I do like the staples. I think there are some names in there that can definitely perform. And, by the way, with the option side of things, you actually can create even more dividend yield and all the rest of it like you oftentimes are going to get with those names. That's why I like those names so much.
Fair enough. And by the way, Pete, the last time that we talked about Hormel on this network was 5 hours ago. I know, because it was me. We talked about it. Dinty Moore Beef Stew does not get enough respect, by the way. Got me through college. All right, on deck. We are going to take a page from the late, great Biggie Smalls and get that old thing back and talk about why once left for goners auto stocks like Ford and GM and Studebaker and the Edsel, they're on fire. And later on, believe it or not, there are still companies posting earnings. It never ends. And here are some of them posting next week. Lennar, Adobe, Rivian, Winnebago, Darden. Should you be trading or fading these stocks right now? We're going to find out when Fast returns. We are back in two. All right, welcome back to Fast Money. Look at that chart. Things are rocking in the Rock City. That is Detroit, of course. Shares of Ford and GM have been booming lately. Ford, it had a big move today at more than 6%, or actually almost 10%, excuse me, now at a 20-year high. The move comes after CEO Jim Farley said that the company had to cap reservations for its new electric F-150 due to strong demand and their ability to simply not make enough. And it's not just the Blue Oval. Call this a renaissance in the Renaissance Center. GM shares above 60. And they say they're going to invest big time in batteries and EVs. So let's trade this. Nadine Turman, are you a buyer, owner, holder, seller, what, of either Ford or GM?
If you own the stocks, I think you can hold them. But right now, it's not the time you go buying after the big moves. Ford, for example, it's showing overbought on our trading signals today. The range for that is about 1850 to 2104. And, you know, when we see that and there's not a lot of short interest, it doesn't get me excited to enter. So maybe wait to 1850. And for GM, we're looking here, obviously really great news too, but the trading range is 59 to 63.75, so it's nearing the high end of that trading range. So there's about 6.5 downside to 1% upside. I don't like that. It's got implied volatility discounts. It means that people took off their protection. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'd rather go to something with some events like Porsche and VW.
A little higher end there. All right, Steve, talk to us about Rivian. Rivian's got its first ever earnings as a public company. Stocks, a little of shine has come off it. You've loved it from the beginning. You've been holding on to it. What are we doing with Rivian?
Yeah, so you said earnings. They're not going to have any earnings. So earnings are lack thereof.
You should have said results.
This is one. So what? Exactly. What's better? Well, you know, the stock price is always a future is indicative of their future potential. This one's going to have a major ramp. They're not focused where Tesla's focused. They're focused. Bob Pisani had a great report on it today. They're focused on commercial vans. I'm focused on Amazon owning 20% of them. Just think about the ramp if Amazon decides to take the whole thing, Brian. Think about what commercial is going to mean. Think about when they start actually putting pen to paper, if you will. They have software in-house. They have batteries in-house. They're not held to the mercy of the supply chain. This is one that I'm going to stick with. You have to have an iron stomach or steel stomach, whatever the saying is, to be able to hold it. I'm holding it. I think the better days are to come. I think the stock is an easy layup for me.
Easy layup with that Amazon factor. Ford loves it too, by the way. And let's just be honest, Rivian, their cars, their trucks, they're good looking. They've done a great job. I know the Lordstown trucks, some people have stronger views on. All right, coming up, the trades on next week's big earnings reports. We're going to go around the horn on these stocks, the ones that with, you know, to Steve's point, actually have earnings. You are watching Fast Money live at the NASDAQ market site in Times Square. We are back on a big market day, end of the week strong. We're back after this. All right, welcome back. We've got some notable names reporting their earnings next week. Lennar, Adobe, FedEx, Darden, Moore, all on the docket. So there's no better time than right now for a good old-fashioned game of trade it or fade it. We got two names to get through. Let's play, Pete. Kick things off. FedEx, trade or fade?
I'm going to fade it, Brian. And the reason I'm saying that is I love the company. I think they do a great job. But when you look at UPS versus FedEx, FedEx is the way to go. It's not the way to go. UPS is, because they focus on domestic. If you look at the performance between these two stocks at any time frame you want to go back and look at, UPS has outperformed them. If I'm going to pick a stock in that segment, why wouldn't I be with UPS? So I'm fading out of FDX.
Tim, your take?
Everything Pete just said is why I want FedEx. I'm trading it. And again, the valuation discount, UPS has been superior over FedEx. It's at a wide. I like it. It's actually also one of these stocks that does well in inflation. They are passing pricing on. FedEx above 260, it starts to run.
All right. Makes the market. All right. Next up is Lennar, the home builder. Steve Grasso, trade or fade Lennar?
This one's going to be a fade for me. This is front loaded. The stock is up over 50% year to date. I'm afraid of the rising rate environment. Usually rising rates don't affect home builders because every home building recovery happened in a rising rate environment. We're coming at it from a different environment right now. It's a fade for me.
There you go. Nadine, what do you think on Lennar?
I'm going to trade it. I think you've got solid industry backdrop for the next 2 years. The opportunity for buybacks with their cash flow. I think concerns around peak earnings built in. $10 a share for their spinoff of their non-core asset management business. A shift to asset-light model. I'd like to get it 108, but I would hold it if I had it and trade it if it has any weakness next week.
I like it. A buy and sell in both names. Guys, thanks. All right, time now for final trade. Tim, kick it off.
Brian, thank you for joining us tonight. GM.
Pete.
Academy Sports Outdoors, giddy up.
Nadine.
I'd go with Carter on this one, XLP.
Steve.
This is one that got just obliterated with the whole new variant scare. It's YOU ticker symbol, clear, secure. This one will, we're not looking at the end of the world. This one will pop. We'll get back to travel, YOU.
YOU, we like it. Everybody, thank you very much, and all of you, have a wonderful weekend.